It's another great weekend right here, right now, on Computer Talk with Dave Mason. You somehow knew we'd meet again. Now I understand. Baby, there's one thing I know. Heart speaks, but no words. All my chips, all my
time. Okay, Dr. Dave, well, I just did some research. And I'm going to have to confront you on some of the details you just talked about in the first segment.
Yeah.
When you opened the show about your presidential rescue.
Incredible. I'm still kind of shaken.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, there's been some reports out actually refuting what you just said, Dr. Dave. I'm sorry.
No, it's the truth. You know, there's only one person I know that actually knows about this.
Evidently, what?
Other than the president, and he's not going to tell you, and some of the Secret Service guys. But they were so dingy from the blast, they may not even remember it.
Oh, okay.
I mean, when you get whacked like that from that kind of blast, it didn't hurt the truck. I mean, it hurt it, but I mean, it didn't destroy the truck.
Concussion.
Didn't penetrate the thing, but sure. I mean, they were really knocked silly. True. It's one of the reasons I had to stop and rescue them, because they were just sitting there.
Yeah. So evidently, we've got photographic evidence.
What are you talking about?
And some video stuff I just brought up. Looks like the president wasn't in Tucson.
That was a security thing. They have to pretend like he wasn't here.
And your truck actually wasn't, you were actually 4 miles away.
No, I was
in
here.
Another traffic.
If he wasn't
area.
Here, what are you talking about? How could I be 4 miles away from when he wasn't here?
Right. Exactly.
See, now you're lying.
So we need to get these facts straight before we can confirm your actual heroic, saving of the president.
Just another week for me, bro.
Also,
just another week.
Also, found out that you actually don't drive a Mitsubishi truck anymore.
Oh.
We found out it's not, that's false as well.
Oh, okay.
So, we're going to have you go on 60 Minutes and discuss all this.
No. Actually, I'm going to go to work for NBC News.
I hear they have a vacancy.
Yeah, I'm going to be the new.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
who was that guy that was on there before?
Former UVA basketball player.
Yes,
Brian Williams.
Yes, he was. You know, he never really lived up to his expectation on the basketball court, and now, of course, on the broadcast channel.
Well, you know, his brother murdered him.
It's not.
You can relate to that, can't you?
Yes, I can. At least attempted murder. I'm still here.
Well, here's the deal. Let's get back to business here. We're talking about Tim Cook's. Interesting. I mean, I got to give him credit for being concerned about security and privacy, but it's sort of like kind of after the fact now, because one of the companies that handles that sort of thing the least effectively is Apple. And again, I'm not accusing them of being, where they're actively evil, where they're pursuing security and privacy breaches on purpose. It's just not a concern to them. They have a vision. They just come at it from a different perspective. They want to offer services for their customers that really tie their customers and create some loyalty, incredible loyalty to their products and their services. And so they do that, and they're very good at it. Security and privacy is way down the list, maybe number five, maybe number six, maybe lower down that list of what makes that service, that product and service, a good service. Their level of their hierarchy of concerns is way down. But Tim Cook this last week talked about, quote unquote, dire consequences. And I happen to agree with that. If tech companies can't protect the privacies of those who use their products. Very interesting. He did a brief speech in Silicon Valley on Friday at a cybersecurity summit. Silicon Valley. Down in Hollywood. What? It's true.
Silicon Valley.
History has shown us that sacrificing our right to privacy could have dire consequences. We still live in a world where all people are not treated equally. See, and this is where it just kills me. Because he immediately swerves. Mm-hmm. Okay, you want to deal with people treated equally or not? That's one thing. You want to deal about security and privacy? That's another. They're not really interconnected. But he has to do it from that prism. He has to communicate his concerns about security and privacy through that prism. Now, it is true, particularly in countries like China, Russia, and others, where data is used by the government to go after certain people. That doesn't happen here. You don't have the IRS or the NSA or the FBI, spying on people and then using the data to pursue people and do illegal or immoral things to them. But you do in Russia and in China. And I think perhaps that's kind of what he's thinking about, because he goes on to say, where too many people do not feel free to practice their religion or express their opinion or to love who they choose, a world in which that information can make the difference between life or death. And I think he's talking about some of the more oppressive societies. Unfortunately, it's true here. It's not life or death necessarily, at least not yet, but it's we're there here as well. If you don't conform in a PC fashion, there are severe penalties. But I'll tell you something, even more mundane, but more important than that, is just the everyday security and privacy breaches that occur. The Anthem one we talked about last week with the Anthem healthcare system, huge amounts of citizens' data being breached. And really companies and governments being really incapable of holding this data securely. You know, we're not talking about a situation in which these security breaches occur every once in a while. We're talking about ongoing attacks all the time, many of which are successful, that we don't even hear about. We talked about that last week. You know, you hear about Anthem. Anthem was breached, they think, in October, found out about it in December. We hear about it in February. There are breaches that occurred in December that we'll hear about. There are breaches that we haven't yet heard about that we will, some of which we won't. I mean, it is really, I think Tim Cook, ultimately, I'm kind of picking on him a little bit, because it's such an irony to have him speaking like this, being so concerned about security and privacy, when Apple really has not done a good job. Again, not picking on them, a lot of other companies too, but just a tremendous irony. He goes on to say, if those of us in positions of responsibility fail to do everything in our power to protect the right of privacy, we risk something far more valuable than money. We risk our way of life. And I think that is true. And I'll tell you, we ultimately too, money is involved, and that is their concern too. At some point, I hope that we will begin as consumers to express our discomfort with this level of vulnerability by making intelligent choices with the companies that we deal with. The companies like Apple, who have such a problem securing their cloud that we stop utilizing their products. It won't take a whole lot of feedback from the consumers to get their attention. I think it's one of the things that happened with Microsoft. They finally, they never got in a position where they were really hurting, but it was real clear people were making decisions against buying Microsoft products, and it got their attention. And I think, you know, when we talked about Windows 10 a little bit last week, they've made some changes because they simply had to. They were forced to. I think Apple, hopefully, with Tim Cook's admission here, will do the same thing. And it isn't just Apple. It's Google. It's Yahoo. It's Microsoft. It's, you know, listen, it's the Department of the Treasury for the United States government. Vulnerable. We'll be back. More of Computer Talk with Dave Mason and your calls, 866-821-8255.
Afraid of the doctor? Maybe a little phone shy? That's okay. You can send Dr. Dave an email live during the show at drdavelive@gmail.com.
When it comes right down to it, the most important thing in life is time. The better you manage your time, the better your life is. Hi, this is Dr. Dave. I want to talk to you about some incredible software that helps you better manage your time and get more out of life. I'm talking about Intellect from Chaos Software. I've researched time management software for over 20 years. I've never found a better, simpler, more practical tool for managing my time and my life than Intellect. In fact, it's what I use every day. It even helped me find the time to write this script. Intellect includes an easy-to-use email client with state-of-the-art spam filters, an integrated contact manager, an appointment manager, and to-do list, all wrapped up in the most efficient productivity package I've ever used. Best of all, Intellect is network-ready right out of the box. Download Intellect's free trial at chaossoftware.com. Whether you're a salesperson, retired grandmother, real estate mogul, or radio talk show host, you need Intellect from Chaos Software. Check it out at chaossoftware.com for a better life.